Good morning. It's a privilege to be here this morning with you all. It's good to see Junior Weeb back with us again. I haven't seen him for a long time, but he still looks about like he always did, so it's good. And it's good to be in God's house this morning. I need two volunteers of school age to come up here. Does anybody want to come up here?
Okay. All right, I'm just standing right here for now.
I want to we've got some cups here that have clear water. We've got some cups here that have clear water in them. And so in our life, we have, I'm going to call it sins that are hidden, and we have sins that are more obvious. So we have, in our life, we have, I'm going to call it sins that are hidden, because this still looks pretty clear inside here. We have clear water. We have a life that looks good. We have a life that's pretty obvious. Some of the sins that are hidden in our life can be things like things that nobody knows about. Maybe it's what's a sin that could be hidden, Alex? You know, think of something. Something that nobody else knows. TJ has a problem with taking cookies when his mom isn't looking. We'll just say that. So he empties the cookie jar, but he doesn't do it all at once. He just takes two, maybe, and she doesn't find out. So on his life, he looks really good. He helps with the work real well at home, and he does good. She doesn't find out. So he's adding that his life is still, it's not pure. It's but it looks good. It still looks good. And this one here, say that this is something that is open. This would be like, maybe this one would be like, you get real angry with your brother. Get real angry with him, and everybody sees it. So everybody can see it now. Everybody can see what it looks like. It's all kind of black. It doesn't look good. So you have hidden sin, and you have sins that are not hidden. But what happens when you go drink the water and you tell it? You know this one's not going to taste good. But what about this one? Is it going to taste good? You don't think so? So let's just say that either one, either life, if it's not pure, this one you can see it, this one not so much. But when they're put to the test, let's say when somebody's judging, when God is judging, then neither one of them is going to stand because they're both contaminated. So then what happens if you want to clean it up? Is cleaning it up, just adding a little bit more clean water, is that going to clean it up, you think? Just adding more good stuff is going to clean it up? Okay, well, you're right. It won't. Then finally, what happens if do you think if you have things that, let's say, sins that nobody knows about, let's put this one in here. You have sins that people know about. You have sins that people know about, and you have hidden sins both. Does the hidden ones balance out the ones that you can see, or are they still there? Still contaminated. Okay. So if you stir up either one, it's just going to get worse, right? It's not going to. Stirring it up isn't going to make it go away. Well, then finally, you have a pure one. You have something that's pure. If somebody came in here to judge it, how would they judge those glasses? How would you judge it if you were wanting to see it? Just a quick way to judge it, how would you judge it? By tasting it. So just looking at it, which one would you taste? Okay, why would you taste that one?
Because it's clean.
It's clean. You know that one would be good. That one you wouldn't get sick on. So that's a little bit like being pure in heart. It's being transparent. It's being clean. It's being able to just our heart is clean. But you can put the salt and pepper down here. But with God's with Christ's blood, then we can be clean. He takes it and dumps it all away. Takes all the hidden sin away. And he fills it up with good clean water. So now, they're both clean. He takes the sin away. Actually takes it away. It's not there anymore. So now, you have what used to be dirty is all clean. Anyway, that was all I had. So
we have the verse, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." That's a very elementary object lesson there. But contamination in any form is contamination. It's not going to. It makes it in the water. If they put too much chlorine in the water, it's contaminated. If there's salt in the water, it's contaminated. If there's sand in the water, it's contaminated or whatever. It's not pure. So when we think of being pure in heart, What qualities come to mind when we think of that? Just, I think of honesty is somebody that has a pure heart. They're honest. What are some things that you think of? What qualities come to mind when you think of somebody with a pure heart?
Sincerity.
Sincerity? Yes, that's a good one there.
Humility.
Humility. Mm-hmm. What about encouraging? I have, yeah, sincerity. Integrity is another one. Humility, encouraging, loving, unselfish. Those are all traits of somebody that is pure in heart. What comes to mind when we think of the opposite of pure in heart, of being pure? Anybody? Yes, and truthful. Is there any more? In the Bible there, selfishness is another one. Strife, like spreading strife or not getting along. And then there's words that are, a lot of words used in the Old Testament that are maybe a little, we don't use them all the time here. But a heart that's full of iniquity. Iniquity is a contamination. Does anybody of you, you school children, know what iniquity means? Iniquity is, there's probably different definitions, but iniquity is a perversity. It's taking something and contaminating it or twisting it. Depravity means that there's nothing good in it, or it's moral evil. It's just, yeah, it's like a contaminant. Another one is guile. And guile would have the term, would have the meaning of trickery or deceit or a fraud. So somebody that's dishonest would be guile. They would either in a fraudulent way or intending to deceive or trick somebody. Then flattery is another one. Does anyone know what flattery means? Okay, yeah. That's, yeah, false praise. People call sometimes and they'll really talk nice to you and they're really, oh, you're such a good person, or you do this and this, and then they say, and could you do this for me, and this, you know. It's kind of a false praise, and it doesn't make you feel very good when you feel used. But false praise or smooth talking, and it's usually used when somebody tries to get something from you, or it's when you're trying to get you to do something or get something from you. Another one that is a contamination to a pure heart is froward, and that's kind of a word that is, we don't use either. We don't really talk about somebody being froward today. But in the Old Testament, in Psalms and Proverbs and different places there, it talks about a froward heart. And that simply means crooked or twisted or distorted or perverted also. So being those A froward heart is a contamination to a pure heart. I mean, being froward is a contamination of having a pure heart. Having guile or trickery or trying to deceive is also a contamination. Spreading rumors or spreading gossip is another contamination. When we do some of these things, it shows what's in our heart sometimes. So in Matthew 7:21, it talks a little bit about, I'll read some verses here in using the contaminations that are in our heart sometimes. It says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. All those will not inherit the kingdom of God." That's unrighteous, which is the same word as iniquity in Matthew there. Galatians 5:21, which I think Sean read that was talking about envyings and murders and drunkenness. Revelings, and it's just a continuation of the works of the flesh. Those are contaminations as well, but it says that they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Revelations 21:27 says, "There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." Only the ones written in the Lamb's Book of Life will enter. The ones that are not will not. Going back there, Matthew 5:8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Those that are not pure in heart will not see God. That's clear in those verses there that I just read. So who are the pure in heart? When Jesus is talking about the pure in heart, he says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Well, who are the pure in heart? Everybody that I know of has iniquity, or has used deceit, or has flattered, or tried to get something from somebody, or has been depraved in one form or another, or crooked, has used deceit. Everybody that I know of has contamination in their heart, or had contamination in their heart. So who are the pure in heart? The pure in heart are those, one, who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Two, they're the ones that, they're washed in the blood of the Lamb. They're the ones whose sins have been forgiven through faith. And they're also those who follow Christ's commands and whose names are written in the book of life. Just some scriptures I'll read here on those that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. In 1 Corinthians 6:11, after it's talked about those that will not inherit the kingdom of God, it says, "Such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." You are washed. Hebrews 10:22 says, Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. It's a cleansing action. Revelation 1:5 says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." The pure in heart are those that have been washed, that sin has taken away. That's the only way that we can be pure in heart. Whose sins have been forgiven through faith. That's the second point there of who the pure in heart are those whose sins have been forgiven through faith. Even as David, in Romans 4:6, even as David also described the blessedness of man to whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." That's forgiveness. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. 1 John 2:12 says, "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake." Those who follow Christ's commands also, it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." In 1 John 14:15, verse 21 says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him," or "I'll make myself known to him." Revelations 22:14 says, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." How do we become pure in heart? That was explained a little bit. We become pure in heart by faith, accepting the atonement that Christ made for us. By faith, we accept that atonement, that forgiveness, and have him wash our sins away. And then in love, we do his commandments. It takes a believing by faith to accept that forgiveness. But in love, we do his commandments, like it says there in John 14, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Principles of living pure in heart. And this was something that I had in my devotions last week. I had was reading Psalms 101. And one thing I like to do is write out some things. And sometimes you get some thoughts out of a chapter that you don't normally get just by reading over it. But Psalms 101, verse 1 through 8, which is the whole chapter there, I'm going to read it and then make some comments there. It says, "I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord." David is writing his thoughts down here. And as I was reading over this, I was thinking, this is some practical points for living pure in heart. The first one, it says, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes or ears." These are some of my paraphrasing here. "I will set no wicked thing before my eyes." This is after we've accepted God's forgiveness to wash our hearts clean. This is in love we do what we can to serve him. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. We need to guard what we see and hear. What we see and hear influences what we think. What we think influences what we do, and what we do determines our destiny. This includes guarding what we see and hear, includes our choice of reading material or books, includes the books that we read, the newspapers that we subscribe to or read, websites we look at, and also the music that we listen to is part of what we control coming into our eyes and ears. We need to have convictions and guidelines. We need to have controls. What we allow ourselves to do. We need to guard against situations that put us into unnecessary temptations. Just a simple one, let's say an alcoholic that is recovering from his habit there or trying to get off of it, would not want to put himself in a situation where he goes into the tavern to get a sandwich, for example. That would put himself into an unnecessary situation or an unnecessary temptation. And that principle for us can apply in other ways. Maybe for somebody that has a struggle with pornography, for example, going onto a computer that they know would create a situation where it would be easy to fall would be an unnecessary temptation there. Those are situations that we need to guard against. The second point says, I will behave myself wisely. I will go through life with a perfect heart. In other words, in my heart, I will order my steps, or I'll order my life to go through life open without contamination in my heart. We need to watch our actions at all times. How does this look to others? In Romans, it talks about abstaining from all appearance of evil. We need to be conscious of where we go and what we do. Be sensitive to other people's feelings. We need to be quick to encourage and lift others up. That's another one that is important. Sometimes we are self-focused, which we need to look at. We need to examine ourselves too, but we need to be quick to encourage and lift others up. We need to be sincere. Be sincere and genuine. Not try to be somebody that we are not. We need to exercise humility and grace. That's all part of walking through life with a perfect heart, or with a heart that is God-conscious. The third part, a froward heart shall not be part of me. And froward has to do with crooked, distorted, or perverted. No one likes to deal with crooks, or I don't know that they do. I don't like to deal with crooks, and I don't want to be one. A heart that is perverted is a heart that knows what is truth and is gone away from that. A heart that is mixing, or that has mixed sin with, or has rationalized sin so that it is okay now, which would be deception, I guess. But let's be honest. Let's be above board in everything that we do. Be fair. Give others the benefit of the doubt. Or be not benefit of the doubt, but be fair. Give others the a good measure for what it is that we're doing. Whether it's in business, whether it's in just dividing an inheritance, whether it's whatever situation we are, let's be fair. And along with that, keep our thoughts pure. For a word, heart is easily distracted. It can be easily distracted with impure thoughts. And what we think influences what we do. What we do influences where we end up. Jesus says in Mark chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, this is in relation to what we think. It says, from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Those are things that start as thoughts. All sin starts as a thought, and then it matures and comes to fruition. Number 4 says, I will have no part in running others down. We've all probably been in a situation where we have, I've been in that, where I have been doing that. And it is not, this is something for me that is a contamination to a pure heart, is slandering our neighbor, as it is called here in Psalms. But it says, one way to have a pure heart is to have no part in doing that, in running others down. Our hearts are deceitful. If we're honest with ourselves, many times when discussing the faults of others, there's pride involved there, possibly in the form of running somebody down to lift myself up, to make myself look good. Usually that's done by recounting situations where we cast ourselves in a good light, and maybe the other's judgment or other's... We cast their judgment or performance in a poor light. Sometimes it's true and sometimes it's not, but it's done with the intent to lift myself up. And that's a contamination to a pure heart. That's something that I'm talking to myself here, because I find myself doing it sometimes without even thinking about it until later. And then you wonder, why did I do that? I know better. Why did I do that? Maybe it's in the form. Maybe we take part in the form of spreading news of others' failures for the sake, multiple reasons, but maybe it's the sake of being the first to tell. And then we ask for prayer while we're at it, if we think about it. Or we embellish the story. We hear something about someone and we aren't sure exactly what it is, but we think it might be this way or it might be that way, and we put that out. Well, I think we need to be careful with doing that, because not everybody takes it as just a theory, and they can maybe take it and spread it as a fact, which can cause the story to get twisted around many ways, many different ways. Or many times we also assume the worst when things don't make sense. Maybe, for example, maybe you see a vehicle that looks like somebody's vehicle that's parked at a place that's not good. Let's say, I heard of a story one time of a man that, I think it was in the Companions here, of a man that was, he had a car, it was a car just like his that was parked at an adult store, and somebody drove past and they said, they went home and told somebody that so-and-so's car was over there at that place, and I know it. Well, it actually happened to be his car, but he had, it broke down or something and it parked there, and there was a big story going around before anybody really bothered to go ask him what happened. And that really worked on this young man, because he said, well, why didn't you come ask me? I would have been happy to tell you. I know it looks bad, but it wasn't what it looked like. But in that's just one example. But we do the same thing sometimes. We tend to automatically assume the worst when we maybe have just a little bit of the situation. We can just see a little bit of it. Maybe it's true and maybe it's not, but as humans, we tend to look at the worst or assume the worst sometimes. Let's be charitable and treat others' failures like we want them to treat ours when we make them, because we will make mistakes sometime. And it's largely our response sometimes is determined, the way people treat us is determined by how we've treated others. Another way, a practical point of being pure in heart, is to fellowship with faithful believers or surround ourselves with close friends who will enhance our character. Not all friends enhance our character. Some friends are not a good influence on us, and some of them are a very good influence on us. If we can surround ourselves with close friends, when I say close friends, I'm not saying we should be unfriendly to anybody, but friends that we associate very closely with should be friends that enhance our character, or we can enhance their character maybe as well. We need to be a friend like we want a friend to be to us. Those that are living pure in heart, and the reason I say let's be charitable and treat others like we want them to be treated, in the New Testament, the Bible is, when it talks about somebody that is pure in heart, every time, I think there's three or four references where it talks about a pure heart. Charity or love is the main ingredient there. In 1 Timothy 1:5, it says, the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, or genuine faith. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness. Flee youthful lusts, follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So that would be surrounding ourselves with friends that would, or brethren that would help us. 1 Peter 1:22 says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. A mark or a picture of those that have a pure heart exercise love. A pure heart is one that is genuine, that practices the faith genuinely out of a pure heart. The reward of being pure in heart is simply, they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The opposite of that is, those that are not pure in heart will not see God. In Revelations 22, verses 1, we'll read, I believe, through verse 5, it says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life. A pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. How is it in our lives here? Have we been washed? We all have given a testimony, or most of us have given a testimony of experiencing God's forgiveness. We have accepted that forgiveness and that cleansing in our life. But how is our life? By faith we've accepted the forgiveness, but in love, are we following God's commandments? Are we exemplifying the faith with a true heart, with a pure heart? There's a song number 386. I'd like to read that here in closing, which is a prayer that I'd like for all of us to have. Well, for me especially here. But it's purer in heart. It says, purer in heart, O God, help me to be. May I devote my life wholly to thee. Watch thou my wayward feet. Guide me with counsel sweet. Purer in heart, help me to be. Purer in heart, O God, help me to be. Teach me to do thy will most lovingly. Be thou my friend and guide. Let me with thee abide. Purer in heart, help me to be. Purer in heart, O God, help me to be, that I thy holy face one day may see. Keep me from secret sin. Reign thou my soul within. Purer in heart, help me to be. This is a progression as we go through life. Let's strive to be purer in heart. Let's kneel for prayer.